Happy Mother's Day to all you brave and loving mothers. And I hope you can agree with me when I say that I am blessed beyond measure to be a mom, but more so to be called mom. And now, later, gray hair later, I'm a grandma, and it's wonderful to have had that job. But I must say that being a mom is by far the most fulfilling job and heartbreaking job that I've ever done. And I just want to bless you in this very special day. Okay, so I went to Google and I looked up some 8 interesting facts about mothers. Number 1, worldwide there are more than 2 billion moms, and that's 4.3 babies per second. Number 2, between 1725 and 1765, a woman in Russia gave birth to 69 children in 40 years. Sign me up for that one, right? Like, how would you get their names straight? It'd be like, Brody, Bruno, Brian, pass me the hammer. Or Julia, Jessica, Janet, you know, where are the diaper wipes? It kind of gives credence to that old saying that my son told me, pregnant, barefoot, and in the kitchen with so many kids around. Number 3, the longest pregnancy recorded in history was in 1945, and it lasted 375 days. A year is 365 days. So this was 100 days overdue. I know how fit I was to be tied when I was 3 days overdue. I think I'd be ready to jump off a bridge. Okay, get this, and I don't even know how this is humanly possible. It doesn't talk about the health of the mother, how she survived this, but the heaviest baby was born in Italy in September of 1955. He weighed 22 pounds and 8 ounces. I saw a picture of this kid. He looked like a sumo wrestler, like chub everywhere. The oldest woman, for number 5, to give birth, she lived in India. She was 74. Oh, my word. She gave birth to twins. Oh, my word, again. In 2019. Oh, I couldn't imagine that. It was hard enough. I couldn't imagine having twins in my 20s. The average mom will probably have changed about 7,300 diapers by the time her baby reaches 2 years old. And you wonder why there's no money at the end of the month, right? Number 7 is interesting. The sound of a mother's voice causes 3 things. The fetal heart rate increases, the child's stress hormone drops, and that oxytocin, that bonding and love hormone, increases at the sound of a mother's voice. Number 8, when mothers smile and coo and show affection to their babies, it's apparently their heart rate synchronized, and it calms the baby down. And so that's why newborns really need their moms, even though dads try their best. They need their moms because that's when they're fussy, they need their moms to calm them down. Even though pat, 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 shake, 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 whatever you do, right? Okay, so today I really want to honor moms. But more than that, I want to uncover the real purpose of the heart of God towards you, his people. So I just want to go back in time, long, long time ago. Let's go back to creation, so you can put up those slides. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created moms and dads separately, and they are in his image. The second one, Genesis 21:22 says, "So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and then he brought her to the man." On that momentous day, something incredible happened. God made a woman, and she was distinctly different and yet complementary to the man. The DNA in every single cell in the body was changed from XY to XX. And that causes accompanying physical changes in the way we think and the way we perceive. And it's like there was a new version, maybe a better version, of the man. In addition, it seems that God deposited something from his own heart right into Eve, right into her heart. And we have carried that for generations upon generations. And you know how when you kind of look at kids in the church, it's easy to see that they look or sound like their parents or their moms, maybe their dads, but dads, you know, Father's Day is next week or next month. Right? For example, my own daughter, my lovely daughter sitting back there, looks and sounds, and sad to say, she acts like I do. But I would like to clarify that she is considerably more sassy than I will ever be, just to get that out there. And if you got to know her, in a way, you would get to know me as well. Okay? And consider this, that God made both a man and a woman in his likeness, in his image, and he created it from his own heart. And it goes to say that if we were to look at godly moms in our lives, in this church, we should probably see a reflection of God himself. Right? We may very well learn more about his heart toward us in addition to that. So I've entitled my sermon today, The Mother Heart of God. Yeah. And heads up, I'm deviating from the standard introduction, 3 points summation. I've got 8 points. So you can count them down. Okay, she's just about done. I won't fall asleep. I'll keep my eyes open. And I apologize in advance to those of you who have heard my stories before. I want to use them to kind of illustrate how God is. So the first point, number one, there's 7 more to go. Moms comfort their hurting children. Only God can truly comfort his children because he is the God of all comfort. So Isaiah 49:13 says, "The Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." From the God deposit that he's put in a woman's heart, a mom is well equipped to comfort her child when hurt. One day, my youngest grandson, he's sitting right back there, ran into my room and tripped over the blankets on the floor. I was changing the bed at the time. He fell down, no big deal. He didn't hurt himself. He fell onto the blankets. I helped him to his feet and consoled him, right? And he was fine. He didn't even complain. And he held it together out of my room and went and saw his mom, guess what? It was funny. Only his mom, in his mind, could bring the kind of comfort that he figured he needed. And I kind of felt like chopped liver, but whatever. And although a mother's comfort is good, God's comfort is better. You know, Isaiah 66:13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." He comforts, soothes, washes away pain. He welcomes in the weary and the burdened and wraps him in a blanket of his care. No one can comfort like God can, especially during hard times. Every once in a while, somebody will say something not nice to me, and I will do like my grandson did. I'll be very, hold it together. I'll be very stoic as I walk away, smile maybe. And then when I'm alone with the Lord, I do exactly what he did with his mom, burst into tears or complain or whatever, right? It's just like God is the only one who truly understands. When my father died, the Lord was the only one I wanted to be with. His comfort seemed to be deeper. It was more complete. It met my need deep down inside. And the Lord seemed to know exactly what I was going through. And the cool thing about that was that I prayed with my dad. He was in a coma. I prayed with my dad 30 hours before he died. And I had somewhat of a doubt whether he really accepted Christ as his Savior. And during that time, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Yeah, he's with me in heaven." And it was good, right? I just want to stop here for a moment and just close your eyes for a shake. Father, I just want to pray for all those, whether they're listening online or they are in this building right now, that you would bring the comfort that only you can bring. Only you can make a difference in a heart. I pray that you soothe away those hardened places, God, and kind of build us up in our faith and let us know that you care. In Jesus' name. I just felt someone needed to be comforted today. Okay, next slide. This is point number two. Six more to go. Moms provide rest for their children. And God has a very special place of rest for all of his kids. It says in Matthew 11:29, you can go to the next slide, thanks. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Psalm 23:2-3, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The rest a mom provides is warm, it's safe, it's peaceful. My new granddaughter's absolute favorite place to fall asleep is right there in her mom's arms. Many times my own kids, when they were younger, just wanted to fall asleep with us, with being in the close proximity, right? Years ago, my son was about 3 or 4 years old, and one of the guys from our Bible study brought up a concern. Now, my son, this is a story about him really needing a special place of rest. His company was opening up night shifts, and his coworkers wanted to bring in porn to pass the time, because all they had to do in these night shifts was go out once an hour and monitor the equipment. So he was really disturbed about this, and so we prayed, and we prayed against it, we bound the spirit, we pleaded the blood, we did all that stuff. It turned out that porn never came to that site. So that was really cool. But what troubled me was, in the middle of the night, my son's light was on in his bedroom. So I walked down the hall, flipped it off, went back. I didn't really look in his room. I thought, well, I don't know how I missed that. And then I looked up again. About half an hour later, the light's on again. And I thought, what's going on? So I went into his room, and I actually looked into his room. And he's up in his bed, and he's against the wall, and he's got the comforter up to here, and his eyes are terrified. And I said, like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Because it didn't seem that there was anything wrong. And he says, there are spiders all over the room. So I walked through the spiders, and I picked him up, and I says, well, there's no spiders in my room. And I brought him into my bed, and I laid him down. He instantly fell asleep. Because when we are in that special place of comfort, that's where we're ministered to, and all our troubles go away. That's the type of rest that God has for all of us. It's peaceful. It's free from anxiety. It's secure. It's calm. And sometimes it makes no sense at all, especially in the middle of a trial. You know what really stresses me out? Losing my keys, my credit card, my glasses. I get really stressed out. And, you know, sad to say, it's kind of a regular occurrence. Okay, but you know what I find I do now is instead of, Gordon, have you seen my keys? Racing around the house, throwing this and throwing that, opening drawers, whatever. I just go to the Lord, and I find that if I'm quiet in my spirit, he will show me where I left them. Or I'll hear, you left them. I'll just hear a message, or I'll actually see them. So it's only like when I step into that special place of rest that I'm able to hear or see the answer. And I would like to actually report a high success rate in recovering my misplaced stuff. So you might want to try that. Okay, point number three. Moms sacrifice for their children, just as Nathan said. But God makes the biggest sacrifice ever. He bore the penalty of all of our offenses and set us free. John 3:16, a very familiar portion of scripture, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Because of what God put in a mom's heart, they sacrifice for their kids. They will volunteer, they will do crazy things, they will deny themselves. And they do so out of a devoted love to their children. How many countless hours have you spent baking for a bake sale, or driving your kids to practices and games, working the fundraiser of the month, planning and executing birthday parties, homeschooling, whatever, just so your kid could participate or be successful. How many times have you gone without so that your child could go with? How many times have you done something crazy or scary or uncomfortable just so your child had someone to do it with? My son, yeah, that son, needed someone to go with him on a ride. Now, I don't know the name of the ride today, but it was called a looping starship at one time. It's the ride that starts like a pendulum. Yeah, and it goes over, right? Well, he really, really wanted to go. Everyone turned him down, his sister, his dad, his aunt, his uncle, and I could see how much he wanted to go on this ride, so I thought, okay, I'm going to sacrifice my sense of well-being and my sense of safety to go with you. So we're sitting in this thing, and actually you go backwards, right, and then forward as you watch yourself go upside down. You just watch the ground, right? And he's screaming, "Mom, I love this." And I'm thinking, oh, my word, what am I doing, right? So there was another time, that same son, I don't know what it is about that son of mine. That same son, we're in Mexico 3 months ago. Nobody would go parasailing with him. Not his sister, not the brother-in-law. Up goes my hand, right? But these all pale in comparison to what the Lord has done for us. He made the biggest sacrifice in all of history for his children by taking the penalty of our wrongs upon himself and setting us free. He could have had a full life with a family, with a good career, all the things that we value, but he turned it all down out of sheer love for us. Such a sacrifice. Number four. Moms focus on their children more than on anyone else. You are highly valued to God. I love this. Zechariah 2:8 says, "He who touches you touches the apple of his eye." Isaiah 49:15-16 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." I love that. Moms make their kids their focus. They teach, they guide, they encourage, they direct, they correct, of course. And they are the best cheerleaders. I was at a swim meet when I was younger. There was a mother going, "Swim, Lynn, swim, don't breathe, swim." She only had eyes for her daughter. And God only has eyes for you. You are the center of his attention. He sees everything you do. He knows every thought you think. You are precious to him above all the others. When I was pregnant with my first child, that's Micah, I was terrified at the prospect of labor and delivery. There's bad stories out there. For you, to be mothers, it's not as bad. I didn't think it was as bad. Anyways, I think more so than that, I was more terrified at my complete inadequacies of becoming a mom. I had no maternal instincts whatsoever. I was not qualified for the job. And here I was pregnant. And it's funny, when you're in distress and you pray about an issue, you think that that issue is the biggest issue that God is ever going to deal with, right? So I poured out my concerns. "Oh, God, how am I going to do this? I don't know." All that whiny stuff. And this is what he said to me. "I gave Eve everything she needed. Surely I can do it for you." And I thought, whoa, Eve wouldn't have had mothers to help or midwives or doulas or anything like that. And I was just kind of awestruck at that answer because I never considered how hard it would have been for her. Anyways, I was really comforted by his words because I felt really special. I felt as if I were the only person in the room, in the neighborhood, in the block, in the world, because he spoke that to me. And I knew that with his help, of course, I could handle being a mom. All right, number five. Moms protect their kids. God protects and watches over us all the time. Psalm 91:11 says he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And John 10, 28, 29, I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Natalie, that's for you, wherever you're sitting. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. Or out of my Father's hand, sorry. Moms are a very protective lot. My sister mentored, and this is just wherever the moms in nature, whatever. This is a bear story. My sister mentored an international student from India, and when he moved to Canada, moved to Kamloops to finish the second half of his program, my sister became quite concerned because he was really lonely and he was kind of depressed. She was concerned about his mental and emotional well-being, so she phoned us up and said, go make friends with him. So Gord took him under his wing and taught him how to hunt the Canadian way and fish the Canadian way. And for this man's very first solo hunt, Gord went to the safe area. And he said, just walk down that path and I'll drive my truck and I'll meet you at the other end. So partway through this ambling walk, right, guess what? Two cubs popped out with the mom close behind. And it's interesting, he stopped still, right? And the mom shooed the cubs up the tree and then turned to face the intruder, who was slowly walking backwards. But this is, I'm sure, what was going through her mind. If she could speak English, she'd be saying, no one's touching my cubs. You're going to have to go through me first, right? Anyways, everything turned out well. He's practicing medicine in Edmonton. It's fine, it's fine. Nice introduction to the Canadian wilderness, though, right? But just as the mama bear did, God watches over each of us all the time. We may not see it, but he protects us, he sees us, he watches over us. A while back, I had a dream. I was hiking along a trail in a wooded area, and I felt as if I were being followed. And I turned around, and I was face to face with a mountain lion, probably from here to the wall away. And you know how cats crouch, and their tail goes flick, 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 and then shift their weight from paw to paw to paw. Well, that's what that thing was doing. And we stared at each other for a while, and then he turned and went into the woods. So I thought, well, that was kind of strange. In the morning, I said to the Lord, why didn't he attack me? And this is what the Lord said. That cougar saw the covering of my spirit on you, and he was not going to tackle that. And this is the kind of protection I believe that God has on us. He protects us when we're in the country, when we're in the city, when we're driving, and are coming and going everywhere. As a very young Christian, I was driving back from Kamloops to Simon Fraser University. I was really tired on my way back. I was very, very cold. I actually had on my ski suit, thinking that that would keep me warm enough to drive down. The heater core of my vehicle was broken. I had no money to fix it, so I did the best I could. But it's hard when you're really cold and tired to stay awake. And so I really had to force myself to keep my eyes open. And then I heard this silky voice that said, you can just close your eyes till the next corner. And then right in the middle of, like just as soon as that voice was spoken, and right in the middle of that, you know, kind of that seduction, it's like instantly I woke up, something in me snapped, and I woke right up. And looking back, I think I would have fallen asleep had God not intervened. And it was like God was saying to the owner of that seductive voice, she's mine, you can't have her, not on my watch. You have to go through me first. I don't even think we're aware of the number of times that God divinely protects us and watches over us and prevents danger from hitting us. One very clear way that God protects us, and I want you to keep this in your mind, young people, old people, keep this in your mind, is that he puts a check in our spirit or a creepy feeling in our hearts about someone or an issue. It's weird how someone can say they're a Christian and you let your guard down. And I basically ignored that creepy feeling I had about my next door neighbor who turned out to be a pedophile, and it did prey on one of my children. And so if God gives you a creepy feeling, it's from the Holy Spirit, and it is to protect you. Okay, that's pretty. Okay, next slide. Number 6. Moms forgive, and overlook many wrongdoings. But no one can forgive like God. Luke 23:34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." If I can say one thing, it's this. Kids give moms ample opportunity to practice forgiveness. Like during those fun, tumultuous teen years, when the door is slammed in anger and you think, I'm going to have to repair that stucco. Or those moody, sarcastic insults hurled your way. Or like not caring enough to fulfill a promise. Or smashing the back window of a brand new car, right, Phil? Moms forget because God puts that part of his heart in a mom. And because she has a deep love for her kids. But to be clear, forgiveness is not just for moms. Guys, you got to do it too. Kids, you got to do it too, right? God expects everyone to forgive, and we know that, right? Nobody forgives like God does, repeatedly. He forgives over and over the same offense until we gain victory. Restoratively, he forgave Peter and restored him back to the place of ministry with mercy because it triumphs over judgment. I don't believe that we can truly forgive on our own. I think we need the Lord to forgive through us. Also, if we forgive the Lord's way, the results are often surprising. And so what I mean by that is, if I know that I hurt you, I need to go and ask you to forgive me. But if I know that you have hurt me, I need to go and ask you for forgiveness. That's God's way, right? So years back, we wanted to help this guy out who was on parole. His name was Ray. We invited him to stay with us. His conversion to Christianity seemed legit, and he seemed interested in the things of the Lord, at least for the first while. We began to see a hunger in his eyes for the things of the street life again, and he changed. That con man within him rose up, and during that time, I would challenge him on his behavior, on what he was doing, and harsh words came out of my mouth, because that's kind of like I was before I became a Christian, and it came back, right? Anyways, when the stealing started to happen from our home and we had to kick him out, he went back to prison and we lost touch. We did look for him. But during that time, God did a deep work of forgiveness and obedience in my heart. And I knew I had to go to that man, even though he had wronged us, and I needed to ask him to forgive me for the way in which I spoke to him and the way in which I treated him. And so we went on a journey to find this guy. We went to these horrible places down in East Hastings and East Vancouver. It was kind of scary, and it was, we couldn't find him anyways. And it was years and years later, almost forgot the man. We got a phone call from him, and he was on the run. He had rolled his dealer for $400. More importantly, he had made things right with the Lord. And he said at that time, "I need to ask you to forgive me." He scooped it. And then just a few weeks after we reconciled, he died. He was in the bush, and he died. And he died alone, but anyways, that's another story. But I look back and I think God brought him from wherever he was back to me so we could reconcile and we could ask each other to forgive her. You know, he asked for forgiveness and make it right before he died. I just thought that was such a gift. And I guess, you know, I just want to stop and pray here. Father, you know how hard it is for us to do the very thing that you do the best, forgiving. And God, I want you right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to move into hearts and allow us to forgive those who have wronged us, Lord God, so there is no trace of offense in us, and that we will have full release. We just give you our offenders. And God, we just ask for peace and mercy in this time of need. All right, point number 7. Almost there, folks. Moms help their kids, and God is always available to help us in times of distress. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Moms help their kids. They lighten the load. They help with school projects. They teach them to drive, driving up their own blood pressure. They're being there to talk through those difficult situations, like what do you do with that bully at school? They counsel, they give advice in relationships and career choices. But the Lord helps us more, and in all sorts of ways. Anytime we need it, we just need to ask. So God helped a group of guys by using Gordon and I. It was Halloween night. No more kids came to the door, so we decided to go for a walk. When we got to the Canadian Tire parking lot up in Sahali or Dufferin there, there was a motorhome from Nova Scotia. And I said to my husband, let's welcome them to BC. Of course, he's a little more conservative than I am. He says, no, it's too late. I says, it's 10 to 9. Anyways, we pushed ahead. I knocked on the door, and out pops these young kids, like young kids in their 20s, right? And I thought, how do they afford a motorhome? Anyways, they were a band, and they had traveled across Canada, and they're making their way back. It just happened to be at Canadian Tire that night. And so I said, well, where do you play? In pubs or churches or wherever they have us. And I thought, oh, they're Christians. So I said, has it been difficult for you to leave your jobs and do this journey? And they said, yeah, it's been tough. So Gord opened, he's a giver. Don't ever say no to my husband because you'll hurt his feelings. Just take the money he gives you and run with it. Okay, so Gord opens his wallet, gives him everything, $60. We can't take that. I said, yes, you can, as a gift from God. So they do that. And as we're walking home, it's heavily impressed by the Lord. You need to give them more money. He even kind of got that sense too. So he went off to his hunting stash, took out some money, and I went to the freezer thinking, well, we'll give him some whatever. So we had these freezer-wrapped, 2 feet long things of pepperoni from deer meat, you know. So got those. Got the Halloween candies, got out of the house. You put the money in the bag, covered it with the Halloween candies. Found them because they weren't back in Canadian Tire. And they told us an amazing thing. They said, just before you knocked, we were praying. One of the guys was crying and saying, God, we can't make it. We're going in the red every day. And he said, and then you knocked on the door and gave us $60. And God says, I am helping you. I will look after you. He used our resources, but nonetheless, God met their need. It was really cool. God helped me directly one day. I think I may have shared this story earlier, but I really like this story. And he helped me avert a very chaotic situation. I'm a teacher on call, and I was called at 8:50. That's 20 minutes after the bell goes. I was phoned at home. Please come and teach 3 classes of French 8 and 9. And I thought to myself, I'm a science chemistry teacher, so I don't know. But I went anyways because I knew that they were stuck. So the class actually went really well. The teacher had laid everything out really well, just kind of had to watch them. And then I had to go back the next day because the teacher was sick. So I was in the shower the following day, and I was in the shower, and I said, Lord, what would happen if perchance she didn't leave any plans for me? It was just thrown out there, whatever. And he laid out this lesson plan. I thought, oh, that's a cool lesson plan. Because as, you know, math and chemistry teachers, we just follow the book and do the exercises. But this one was actually kind of cool. So I got to school, and lo and behold, the teacher left nothing but a message. Do the best you can. Yeah, you know. So I was walking down the halls, and I'm thinking, okay, God, it's you and me. And so this was the lesson plan. I put it in order as the Lord showed me. Tell the kids to take out their cell phones and look up 20 positive character traits. Put it in a French sentence. You are kind, you are hardworking, whatever. They had to do 20 of them. Everyone in the class had to do that on their own. They did it sort of in groups, but they all wrote out these sentences. And then he said, take one kid, put him in the middle, and then the other kids will say their sentence in French. I don't want to do that. My kids over there speak French. I should get them to say it in French. But they were to say it in French, and then the kid in the middle had to say it in English to me. So it was good because everyone did the work. Everyone knew it, but they had to practice listening, right? And all I can tell you is that the atmosphere in the room changed because they were speaking one to the other kindly. And they were, because they were positive character traits. And it was like peace and kindness were filtering in the air. It was amazing. My heart was full and the kids were smiling and they were encouraging one another. The next day, I happened to be at another school and the daughter of one of the kids in that French, the daughter of the teacher was one of the kids in that French class, and she went home that day and said to her mom, "Mom, we had the best French class today." So if God ever lays a lesson for you, it really does work. He truly does help. Okay, last slide. Point number 8. We're there, almost. Moms know what's best for their kids, and God definitely knows what's best for his kids. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Judges 6:14, "The Lord turned to him," this is Gideon, "and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Moms really do have a good idea of what's best for their kids. Kids often don't recognize that. But moms see the potential, they see the strengths, they see the possibilities in their kids. You know, so if you're a kid out there today, it might just be a good idea to believe your mom. Might just be, right? But really, God knows what's best for each one of us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he sees the big picture. So Gideon was hiding in fear when the Lord spoke those words to him. God saw what was inside that fearful man. He saw the strength, the willingness to obey, and his courage. The good thing was that Gideon chose to believe what God said rather than his own assessment of the situation. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a mama eagle. She knows what's best for her eaglets when it's time to get out of the nest and fly. And what she will do is she will take the down out, feather by feather, and she brings rocks in. Makes it just a little bit uncomfortable. And then she actually will get them to the edge of the nest and give them a little boot, a little nudge. And then she will, she just doesn't send them out, but she goes underneath them, flies underneath them, so that if they do falter, they land on her back. Back she flies to the nest only to try it again. Okay, WestJet John, this is a guy I talk about, it was a wealthy businessman. He was supposed to be seated in first class on a Delta Airline flight bound for Calgary from Puerto Vallarta on February 15th, 2023. But God interrupted WestJet John's plans. There was a redirection of that flight and a layover in Detroit, which meant that he would miss a very important meeting the next day. So the Delta Airline, he was frantic. "Can you do anything for me?" So the Delta Airline agent went over to WestJet and found him one available seat right in the middle of crowded economy, the middle seat right beside me. It was because God wanted John to hear that he was real. God wanted John to hear that Jesus died for his sins. God wanted John to know that it's more than knowing about God, it is knowing God himself. And God knew what was best that day for John, and I pray that John figures that out too. Summing up, mothers are wonderful because God is wonderful. Moms bring comfort peace, and rest, actually, because God excels at that. Mothers sacrifice for and protect their children because God does that. Moms forgive because God forgives without limit. Moms want the best for their kid, and God wants the best for you. In all they do, godly mothers demonstrate the heart, the mother heart of God for those around them. "To you, his children," God says, "you are close to my heart. I've covered over all your sin. You are written on the palm of my hand. I see you. I watch over you. No one can take you from me. I know you intimately. I give you purpose and rest. I am your comfort in times of trouble. I will fill you with my spirit so you can do all I have designed for you to do. I will carry your burdens. I love you with an everlasting love. I was wondering if the moms could stand all over the building. If you are mom or grandma, that makes you a mom too, if you would stand. This is what the Lord said for me to tell you. Thank you for telling your children about me. Thank you for leaning into me when things were really tough. Thank you for trusting in me. Thank you for showing your children that I am real to you. And thank you for letting me shine through you. Bless you. Stay standing because I want Morgan, if you'll come, and Wade, if you'll come. I'm going to pray over the moms. I wanted a kid to pray for moms, and then I want a husband to pray for moms, too. Oh, you want to go to Osh? Sure.
I pray that the Lord will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. May God bless you this Mother's Day.
Good morning. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We want to pray for the mothers. You know, we say that God has empowered mothers with all the greatest gifts: nurturing, teaching, caring, healing, empathy, and so much more, but most of all, love. Because it takes everything you have to raise a family, I pray the strength of Christ will always be with you. I'm going to read from Ephesians 3:16. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor, until supernatural strength flood your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And thank you, moms, for your faithfulness.